Hello, hello. I'm going to just change my name real quick. We'll let folks trickle in. I wanted to make sure I was in the right place. All right. Hello, everyone. So excited to be here today. All right. So what I want you to do is I want you to, while we're waiting for people to trickle in, tell me where you are coming from today. Get familiar with that chat box. If you want me to answer a question and you don't want me to like lose track of the question, you want me to see it, whoa, show, you're going to use that Q&A box. And I will answer from there. I will also be taking people live for some coaching. If you want live coaching, you're going to raise your hand. But if you just have a question, you're going to put it in the Q&A box. All right, let's see where your folks are coming in from. My God, I love seeing this. This is so cool. We got Canada in the house, Virginia Beach in the house, Saginaw, Texas. I think that's correctly pronounced. Ruby from San Diego, Cali in the house. Hello, Louisiana, Fresno, New Hampshire, Solanti, Isapus, or Katie Jones. You got to help us out. How do you pronounce that? I live in a place called Ucaipa, which is spelled weirdly. So, no worries. We also got some more LA, California, Rockford, Toronto, Charlotte, Norway. Oh my gosh, Norway, Princeton, Charlotte, Niceville. I wonder how nice they are in Niceville. I know, probably get that a lot. Denver, Minnesota. So good. All right, I'm going to switch mics, make sure I'm mic'd up correctly. All right, we should be good to go. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, 2 more minutes for people to trickle in. Hi, Corinne. Hello, hello. I am just so excited to be here, y'all. Cornfields of Illinois. Oh my gosh, I'd love to see a picture of the cornfields. It's so amazing. Okay, actually, Kathy. Hi, Kathy. I live near chicken ranches. There are a lot of egg ranches around me. Yes, who is ready to get their learn on tonight? Macon, Georgia, Pocono Mountains. I like the sound of that. Yeah. So glad we made it to the right room, y'all. Sorry for the confusion last time. If you were wandering around like, where's the call? Where's everyone? We've all made it to the right place. Since I see my little early birds have come in early. So, so good to see you all that we are in the right place. We're going to give it like one more minute. And then we're going to get started because I just so much juicy goodness for you all. I've been thinking about you all week. We've been hanging out so much in the membership and I've just got to see what all of you are up to. And it has been so much fun to see the panty and bra festivities, the swimsuit pics. Like you all have been kicking so much butt and it has just been amazing to see. Okay, we got Nebraska in the house, more Canada in the house. So good. So, so good. All right. One more minute. Almost there. Almost there, y'all. Counting down. I should have gotten a commission on the bra sales. You know, I'm actually glad I'm not affiliated with a bra company because I think there's just so many amazing options out there. And I will give you a little hot tip on bras as we continue, but we are at the top of the hour, so I'm going to get going. Just so excited to see you all. It's ridiculous. All right. We are going to talk about beauty at every size, every shape, every age does not matter. Beauty, just like style, is something we create with our thoughts. So just like last week's lesson, I'm going to give you a little bit overview framework of where we're going to go. I'm going to give you a glam gal mission and where we're going to head. But like every lesson we're going to do here over our time together, as we work through how to be a fucking lady and we talk about the different chapters, I'm going to give you mindset work in conjunction with a style or a beauty mission. I'm going to give you something practical to do. And I'm also going to give you some mindset work because I want to make sure we're doing both in conjunction with each other. So you're getting a makeover from the inside out. We want to handle both. We're not going to slap a new bra on you without also making sure we're doing some of the mental work. So I'm going to teach you and then we'll jump into some coaching. For this week, we're going to talk about beauty at every size, every shape. What I want you to know about beauty is similar to what I taught you about style. When we think about the think, feel, and do cycle, style, feeling stylish, goes in the F part, the feeling line. I want you to think of beauty in much the same way. When we put beauty, feeling beautiful, in the feeling line, it gives us tons of space and juicy room to create our own definition. Also, where we put sexy, we talked about this a little bit last week. We put sexy in that feeling line because then we have so much more control and agency over it. I think for most women or people who've been socialized as women, you've been told there's this very specific criteria that you must meet in order to feel beautiful, in order to look beautiful. Lori's reporting in. She bought her Doc Martens. Sorry, distracted by the chat box. So proud of you, Lori. Thank you for reporting in. So here's the beautiful thing about putting beauty or beautiful in the feeling line is there is no prescriptive to-do list. There are no boxes to check. Now, this might rub up against like centuries and decades of socialization. Right? For most of us, we've been told you have to be a certain size, a certain weight, a certain shape, a certain skin color with a certain hair texture, perfectly smooth wrinkle skin, and only within this certain age range window in order to be considered beautiful. And that is a mind fuck. And it's exhausting. And the beautiful, weird thing about the work that I do and the work that I get to do with you all is we get to burn all of that shit down. That library that you might have been carrying around with you since you were a little kid, full of stuff from beauty magazines, etiquette books, movies, your grandma, your auntie, your friends, like this library that you accumulated of manuals of how to be beautiful, the things you're required to do, we get to burn that motherfucker down. So good, right? We get to define it all. We get to write our own beauty manual. We get to decide what it all means and what it feels like in our body. And for each of us, that's going to be something completely different. So I want to offer you that you get to define your own beauty standard. Here's why that's so important. So many of us, and I think as no BS women, we are like ready to decry the beauty standards and like down with that. We're done. It's over. And, you know, how dare, you know, the beauty industry tell us how we're supposed to be, or the diet industry, weight loss industry, exercise, like how dare they tell us how to show up in the world? And I'm like, rah-rah, sister, right there with you. But here's the thing I want you to know. And if you take nothing else from today, the beauty revolution that we're going to create, the beauty revolution that we are starting today, right now, collectively together, it starts with you. It starts with the things you tell yourself when you are alone, and it's just you and your body in front of the mirror. The beauty revolution will start with you saying kind things to yourself, no matter what your body happens to be doing. Because the ripple effect of you showing up as you, we can't even calculate that, my friends. The little humans that are watching you and taking their cue from you, that's how we're going to change the world. That's how we're going to totally dismantle the beauty industry and set that shit on fire and redefine the standard, or there'll be no standards because all of us are beautiful. This is a revolution and y'all are in on it, right? Like my no BS woman, y'all got me, right? Like we're doing the damn thing, but it starts with each individual woman. When I was younger, in this story I include in the book, I used to have such a love, hate, mostly hate, relationship with my hair. And I longed to see someone in my immediate family with my hair texture. Like it would have been so amazing to me had I seen that. I desperately wanted to know that nothing was wrong with my hair, nothing was wrong with me, that I was normal. And, you know, The Lion King came out around probably 7 or 8 years old, and I was in elementary school. So I used to get followed around, and people would be like, dee, 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 like, right? And they would sing, you know, the famous song from Lion King, and I used to get stuff thrown in my hair. It was terrible. And then add to that, you know, I'm Puerto Rican, so everyone in my family, we all look different. We have different skin colors, eye colors, hair textures. Like, we come in, like, all the colors. There was no one exactly who matched me. My sister right below me is blonde with, like, light blue eyes, which is closer to, you know, Western beauty standard norms. So I was always comparing myself to her. My older sister was, you know, this beautiful skin that was a little bit darker than mine. So she looked more like legit Latina than I did. And she had jet black straight hair. I mean, it's gorgeous. My sisters are all phenomenal looking, by the way. And now I have such a different relationship with them and the way I think about them. But at the time, it was so, so difficult. So difficult. And there was this constant comparison, both internally and externally, to the way we looked. And it wasn't until I got older and I finally let my hair down and my nieces entered the scene and they were like, Auntie, I love your hair. Auntie, show me. Auntie, can I play with your hair? Because they're not allowed to play with their hair because they get it twisted once a week and their mom is hardcore, like, don't touch your hair. But their hair texture is closer to mine. Like, I somewhere along the way forgot to be the woman I so desperately wanted to see when I was little. And that's really the mindset challenge I want to give all of you today. Like, can you rise to that challenge? Can you become the fucking lady that you so desperately wanted to see when you were little? With all the lumps and bumps and gloriousness, with all the wrinkles, with the cellulite, with the stretch marks, with the hair, with the different freckles, all of it, y'all. Because there's some little human somewhere, even if they're not your daughter, there's some little human watching you who desperately needs you to show up as yourself. I'm gonna get emotional. Like, desperately needs that from you. And here's the thing, you need it for you too. So many of us didn't have that, you know, beauty role model that we wanted to see. And maybe the beauty role models we had gave us some advice that's kind of, you know, messed up and not useful or serving us at this point in time. So here's a beautiful thing. Here's where the beauty revolution will start with you. Be the woman you needed to see when you were little. Not some paragon of virtue or perfection. Just you. Just you. That's what the world needs. Just you. So how do we get there? If we're at a place of, like, self-loathing and disgust, and we have this love-hate relationship with our body, our hair, our skin color, our eye color, insert, right? Getting from there to, I love my body, I love my hair, I love myself, that's going to feel like a big leap. So I want to give you two mindset ways of looking at it, but it's the same tool. I refer to them as breadcrumb thoughts. I know other coaches refer to that as a thought ladder. Also, I'm going to use a monkey bar analogy. There's different ways, same tool. And the idea is to baby step yourself to the thought that you would like to think. So for some of us, and myself way back in the day, I used to really, really struggle. And I was in deep, deep self-loathing. So to get from self-loathing to I love myself, it would have activated what I call, like, my brain's gag reflex. If I had, like, shoved mantras down my throat with, like, you're beautiful, you're beautiful, you're beautiful, my brain literally been like, no, it was not ready to hear it. It didn't believe me. And then again, no matter how many compliments I received externally, it just wouldn't believe it. It couldn't conceive that I was, in fact, lovely and beautiful and worthwhile. So I had to work my way there. So one way of seeing this is, like, I hate my body. And if you're really in that place, sometimes even, like, I have a human body is not particularly neutral for you either. So to really work it all the way back, think something like, it's possible that one day I could stop hating my body. And then we leave off the it's possible. One day I will stop hating my body. One day it's possible that I could like my body. Leave off the it's possible. I can learn to like my body. I'm willing to like my body. This is a human body. And then again, working my way to the next one. It's possible that one day I could learn to love my body, my hair, insert body part. I'm learning to love. I'm willing to love. I can love. I love. And working your way across slowly, 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 slowly. Why slowly? Why not just take the leap? Well, think of it this way. If I were to swing from point one on monkey bar all the way to the end, I would probably hyperextend my shoulder, fall flat on my face, and it would be extremely painful, and I would not want to repeat the exercise. If you try to jump repeatedly to a thought your body, your mind are not ready to receive, it's very painful, and you're not likely to repeat the process. Start out slowly. It's more digestible. We follow that breadcrumb, and eventually we can get to that place where we're thinking the thought we'd like to think. Now, here's what I want to add. Sometimes we got to go back a few swings. That doesn't mean anything has gone wrong. If yesterday you're like, I love my body, and then the next day you're like, I don't even know if I like you today, nothing has gone wrong. You're just having a different set of thoughts. That doesn't negate all of the thought work you've done. It doesn't negate all of the progress you've made. It just means you're having a different set of thoughts on this particular occasion. So I want you to think of the breadcrumb tool, okay? The ladder tool. It's okay to go backwards sometimes. It's okay to step back down on the ladder, get some more sure footing, and then decide to progress again. Nothing has gone wrong here. I want to give you another option, another way to think about this. And this is particularly with regard to the word beautiful, which can be fraught sometimes and is a little loaded. So what I want to offer you is something I've worked on with my clients over time. And it's based upon a philosophical principle that I actually got from one of my favorite philosophy professors when I was in college. Sister Eleanor Keane was also a doctor of philosophy. She had a doctorate. She was an amazing, incredible woman. And one thing she offered me that I want to offer all of you, and if this works for you, great. If not, you can try the other methodology, but I want to give you another way to play with this. She offered me that because we are created beings, we bear some of the parts of our creator. Now, for me, my creator, the name is God. That's the name I've assigned. So God, I've made in his image, her image. And because God is love, God is actual beauty, I get imbued with those characteristics, which is kind of cool when you think about it that way. If you believe the universe created you and you believe the universe is full of love and beauty, you can play with this the same way. But the nuggets of that creative source are placed within me. So therefore, I am full of beauty. I got my beauty from the source. Therefore, I am full of beauty. It has been placed within me. I can't be taken away. There's nothing I can do to increase it. It just is. And for some of my clients who the word beautiful is so charged for them, the concept of being full of beauty, it was easier for them to wrap their arms around. For some reason, the wordplay worked better. So the ladder for that kind of line of thinking would go something like this. I am full of beauty. Next rung up is I am beauty full. B-A-U-T-Y, full, F-U-L-L. I am full of beauty. I am beautiful, rising the bar, right? And then when you're comfortable and it makes sense to you and you've defined it for yourself, then you can say, I am beautiful, and you can own it. For some of you, that is so loaded, you're not there yet. So we can work our way up. Full of beauty, beautiful, beautiful. Always acknowledging that no matter what you do, you're full of it in the best of ways. You're full of it. Can't be taken away. I'm full of love. I am loveful. I am lovely. Play with it, play with it, play with it till you can wrap your arms around it and you can own it. That's the mindset tool I really want you to work on this week. Pick a breadcrumb thought, find the trail you want to create, and work your way there. Always acknowledging that you might have to go a few rungs back and nothing has gone wrong. Now, in terms of your style work this week and your beauty work this week, what I want to offer you is we can take that same tool and we can apply it to your beauty routine. What? Yes! Okay, this is my favorite thing to teach. The cool shit is you get to find your starting point for your beauty routine. You get to decide where you want to up level and you get to work your way there. How cool is that? So give you some concrete examples. I have some clients who are like, beauty routine? What beauty routine? What are you talking about? I don't have any beauty routine. And I'm like, all right, well, we could start with a glass of water. We could hydrate your skin. We can go to bed and get those hours of sleep, that beauty rest. We can start you there. And then we could up level to like moisturizing that face, hitting up that neck. And then we can ladder you to the next place. Maybe you do want to do a little concealer. Just start right under your eyes. Nothing fancy. And then when you're ready, maybe we could do a little blush. And then when you're ready, we can do a little lipstick. Ladder you until you're ready. And you get to stop at any time because you get to decide the end point. That's the beauty of working this way in this tool. Now, let's say maybe you are like, I want to up level my lipstick game, but I don't wear anything on my lips. First thing I would say is get used to having something on your lips, which takes some getting used to. I used to be a big time lipstick eater. I know, so gross. But if I wore lipstick, I'd be like, it'd be my mission by end of day to have it like all off. So it took some time to get used to it, right? Start with some chapstick in a tinted color. You can up level to lip gloss. Something with like a nude peachy color. If you eat it, no one's going to notice. Then you can increase the level of intensity of the pigment over time until you can get to the bold color that you decide. Again, the beauty of this is you get to play with it. For some of you, you're going to be up leveling your hair. For some of you, you're going to be up leveling actually putting on clothes. You get to decide. But here is your glam gal mission, should you choose to accept it. Be ready. I want you to apply this tool both to thought work. So I want to know what thoughts you're going to be practicing thinking, where you're starting and where you want to end up. And I also want to know where you're going to up-level your beauty routine, where you're starting and where you want to end up. And I want us to do this in community. So I want you to be in the Facebook membership group. I want you all to be commenting on each other, showing up the way you did for bras and undies. I want you to do that for beauty because I want you to see how different it's going to be for all of you. I want you to see that we have so much to offer one another. I want the beauty revolution to like be started right here, right now, because we are on a mission together, right? So get in community because remember, the ripple effect starts with you in front of your mirror. The humans who are watching your immediate household, the communities that you're in, whether it's on Facebook, in virtual reality somewhere in some form or fashion, in your churches, at school, at work, and then the ripple effect, the ripple effect, the ripple effect. You don't know how many lives you're going to touch simply by declaring here and now, I'm full of beauty. I am beautiful. I'm beautiful. So delicious, the thought of this. So I want you to get in the Facebook group. Let's do this together, y'all, okay? Now, last tip about bras. I'm gonna show y'all my rack. Okay, let me see my chichis, but here we go. When you put on your bra, your breasts may not automatically sit in your cups.
I want you to like really hold the wire with one hand, get in there and move your breast forward so it's seated in the cup. Again, holding, right? The wire flush against your skin. Now my wire is where it's supposed to be, all the way over here where my armpit is. And I move my breasts in. I pick them up. I move them around. I seat them in the cup. A lot of you might be experiencing problems with wire bras because you're not used to playing with the girls, getting in there and moving them around. They are your titties, my friend. You can do whatever you want with them. Move them. Move them. Do what you got to do, okay? Because it might not be that your bra doesn't fit you. It may not be that your new bra that you just bought and the size that's probably yours doesn't fit you. It might be that you need to move the girls around, seat them a little bit, and play with them. And I'll leave it there. I'll leave it there. Okay? Play with it. All right. So, y'all, I'm going to get to some questions. I have one already. I'm going to answer the question, and I'll go to the people who've raised their hands. We are going to be coaching now. All right. Hi there. I'm not sure if you're going back to the bra topic this week, but I do have a question if you're able to answer. My bras, whether they close in the back or front, wire, no wire, sports bra, whatever, they all roll up in the back after a few hours, and it hurts. I'm thinking I need a bigger band. I'm planning on going for a fitting in a couple of weeks, but was just curious. It's been going on for years. I wear 46C. Yeah, it sounds like you have a band problem. Faux show, my friend. Typically, and I just want to let you all know, most bra fitting experts will tell you that they actually fit your band first and then they adjust for cup size. The band is actually what's holding all of the bra together. That's actually what's holding the weight and distributing it. The way bras work is the weight is going back and over. Okay, so all of the weight's actually being distributed back here in your band. Your band, depending on how comfortable you are with rib cage snugness and whether you're comfortable with it being close to your body, your band should fit fairly snugly in order to support the situation that is the boobies. Now, if your band is riding up, it's either too big, which is also possible, or B, it's too small, right? Those are the options. If it's riding up and your breasts are pulling forward, they're sort of hanging low by the end of the day, your band might be too big and your cup size might be too small. Now, you're going for bra expert fitting, but this is just good news for everyone. If your band is rolling because it's so incredibly tight that it has no room to wiggle and it's starting to roll up, but it's not necessarily like gravitating upward and your boobs aren't falling forward. They're just rolling because maybe like back fat or a little bit of chubs on the sides, your band might be too small. So again, if you're rolling, but it's not really moving in the front, it's probably too small. If it's migrating up and the boobs are sagging forward, it might be too big. So play with the band size and then you can adjust for the cups. Thank you for that question because I'm sure you're not the only gal who had it. Now, I think there are attendees with their hands raised. So I want to make sure I'm calling on people. Okay. So I'm going to be calling on a number that says 714-904. And I'm going to see if I can promote you. But if you're not showing your face, it's not going to let me promote you. It's only going to allow you to talk. So if anyone has any questions and they want to be coached live, I need you to raise your hand and actually be in a position to talk in a quiet background. Okay, so I'm going to go back to the Q&A questions. All right. Cynthia says, how to up-level comfortable work-from-home outfits, t-shirt and yoga pants. I work from home, but in between meetings, I walk the dog, clean, etc. I also wear long sleeves to cover my psoriasis. Need help finding a work-from-home style. Okay, so here's the thing. For all of you wanting to up-level your style, remember the ladder. If we know you like a t-shirt and a yoga pant, then what's that next rung on that ladder that we want to go to? Maybe we want to wear something other than a t-shirt. We want to wear like a nice blouse, but keep our yoga pants, making sure our yoga pants fit, that they're not janky, and they're at least in good condition. Using the Janko meter that we talked about last week. So maybe we up-level to a blouse from a t-shirt, and we keep our yoga pants. And then the next rung would be maybe we swap out our yoga pants for maybe pants that have an elastic waist, like paper bag waist pants that are really cute and stylish. They look like a trouser, feel like a yoga pant. We could pick something that has a flat front and a hidden elastic waistband in the back. Bowden carries these styles. We can play with our pants, have them still have that yummy stretchiness that we're used to, that yummy stretchiness that we're used to, but up-level the look of them over time. And then so on and so forth, right? Maybe we can go to a trouser that fits like a glove. Maybe we can up-level to jeans while continuing to wear our blouse. If we know that you like to wear a top and a bottom, we don't change that necessarily. We just up-level it, up-level it, up-level it, up-level it. And you can start with one item at a time. That would be my advice, Cynthia. Trisha says, I feel like my body before and have and now don't. Almost as if I'm working backwards. How do you halt the backward footing, get your footing, and start forward again? I feel like I liked my body before and have and now don't. Okay, so I want you to examine, Trisha, and this is great because this happens to all of us, right? Like one day we like it, then the next day we seemingly don't. And like what has gone wrong? What has happened? You just had a thought change. So what were you thinking then that you're not thinking now? Like, even if you could point to outside evidence, like, oh, I've gained weight, or, you know, my skin is now more saggy, or this moved, or I've aged, and now I have sunspots, or whatever the case may be, right? Even if you could point to outward evidence, you still have control over the thoughts you think. So there's something you were thinking then that you're not thinking now. We just need to know what that is. And even if you don't currently believe now what you used to believe, you can ladder your way back there. So if I used to believe, like, I love my sexy ass arms, just using this as an example. And now I'm like, I don't. I've gained weight. My arms are thicker. They're fuller. It's uncomfortable to wear shirts. Like, I have all this evidence, right? And like, my arms are so fat is a thought I'm thinking now. That's a thought, by the way, y'all. Not a fact. It's a thought. I love my sexy ass arms too. My arms are so fat. Well, that's a thought difference. So I need to ladder my way back to the thought that I had, I love my sexy ass arms, which is still available to me, no matter the size, weight, shape, or whatever happens to be going on with my arms. Okay, so keep that in mind. You're just thinking a thought that you no longer are. We need to find out what that is. It's a gold mine of information. Okay, I'm going to check back in and see if anyone else has raised their hand. Okay, so we have someone who's raised their hand. I'm going to promote them to panelists. Linda Witter, you are on deck, my friend. Oh, it looks, oh, there you are. Okay, it had a little delay. I was wondering what was going on. When you're ready, go ahead and unmute yourself. Hi, Linda. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. How can I help you?
Okay. So I used to wear a lot of suits and stuff. And as I filled out, I just got bigger clothes. Now, thanks to Corinne and the No BS Tribe, I've lost about 25 pounds. And I found that I went out and bought clothes just the other day. And my pants, I am an hourglass figure. And unfortunately, like my hips are huge, and my waist is tiny-ish. So I bought pants, and then I brought them home, and I wore them around for like a day, and they just keep sliding down to my hips because there's nothing kind of holding them around my waist. And then now I'm like really upset because I bought all these pants, and they don't work right. So now I wore a belt the other day, but then I feel like I have to wear like a top like this that's really flowy and long so you don't see my belt.
Okay.
Because my mother growing up told me I look like a sausage tied in half. So that's what plays in my head. You can't wear a belt, Linda, because you look like a sausage tied in half.
Okay. So we could smell the BS fashion rule that was given to you by your mama, right? Like, you smell that, I smell it. It's stinky, right? It's stinky. How do you feel when you think that?
Well, I'm like, I don't know how else to wear the pants I want to wear without wearing a belt. And then I like, am I destined to wear tent tops? Like I call
them? And I will give you some style advice in a second, but I want you to work on that thought. Because if the record with Mama's Voice is going to be playing, it does not matter which pants you buy. You'll just find a new little quippy phrase that she gave you to start queuing up.
Right. Okay. So I'm going to work on the mama phrases. Got it.
Right. So think about like all the stuff that you probably don't even realize you say to yourself that your mama used to say, like sausage, whatever. And, you know, any little quippy things, right, that mama say. Like my grandma was notorious for saying like hilarious and kind of not nice stuff to people about style and fashion. She was hilarious. It was funny, but it's kind of mean, right? So as much as I adore a lot of the things she said, the beautiful thing is you get to keep what you want and you get to burn the rest.
Okay, I will.
Do you want to believe you're a sausage casing if you wear a belt?
No, I am not a sausage tied in half. And in fact, I am thankful for my hourglass figure for, you know, a lot of reasons, of course, but I feel like I've never got the clothes to fit me. And I know somebody suggested tailoring, and my mom is actually used to be a tailor, but she used to say to me, you know, if I take these in when you gain weight, you know, like, so there's no point. So she, and it's true, I would always gain it back, and then she'd give me back my clothes that she never tailored. So asking my mom to tailor them is not going to get me anywhere. And as much as I like kind of not hated her for it, but like it irked me that it was true and she gave me the clothes back months later, that still plays in my brain, even though I know like I've made lifestyle changes I'm going to keep forever. It's like, it's not like I'm on a diet, mom, you know?
Yeah. So that's the part where I like, notice how we like people offered you, oh, you could find a tailor. You saw that in the chat box and your brain was like, well, here's some other shit my mama used to say about tailoring. Right. Okay. So that's why I'm like, we could give you all the advice in the world, mama. But unless you start to clean up that shit, like it doesn't matter. You'll find some new phrase your mama told you to kind of object. So in your self-coaching homework, and this is for all of you whose mamas, well-meaning as they were, grandmamas, aunties, fill in the person, told you quippy things like this, before you take action, we have to figure out what the thoughts are that you're saying to yourself, how those make you feel. Because when you say something like, you're just going to gain the weight back, why bother to tailor it? How do you feel when you think that?
Well, I get angry, I guess, you know?
Right. When you're angry, can you problem solve for a fitting problem?
No. And then, I feel like I buy more clothes and then they don't fit. And
then you just agree with her. You're like, why bother?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's why we got to address those thoughts in conjunction with whatever action you take.
Okay.
So I want you to write out a script, all the quippy style advice your mom has given you over the years.
Okay.
I want you to rewrite those.
Got it.
And it doesn't have to be like you're fighting with her in your head. It can be like, yes, mama. And I'm also no BS woman now, so things are very different.
Right.
Yes. And there are so many cute belts in the world now, mama. We don't have to worry about that. Right? Like, you
can, so just, I can wear a belt.
Hell yes, you can. We'll go there in a second. But like rewriting the script, not arguing with her, like still respecting her. Yes, and here's the new story I'm telling you about this. Okay? That's the thought work. Now, in terms of style work, I want you to look for, when you go back out for trousers into the world, look for trousers that are labeled curvy. Okay. Now, curvy is not low-key way of saying fat. Because I think sometimes we conflate the two. We're like, oh, those are the curvy jeans. Those are the fat people jeans. Like, no, that's actually not what that means. The way they're cut, they're actually going to be cut. They're going to go in a little bit more at the waist. And the hip curve is going to come out slightly. So it's going to accommodate more of the junk in the trunk while coming up a little bit more in your waist. So you don't have that gap where we can check into your chonies. Okay.
Yeah.
We want to look for pants that have a curvy shape because that's going to help with fitting just tremendously. Secondly, yes, we probably do want to work on maybe accommodating the thickest part of you. I noticed I didn't say fat, the thickest part of you, right? The thickest part of you. And then tailoring, maybe taking in a little bit at the waist or through the leg if you need to, but shop curvy first. And then we can tailor it in. If you have to go up a size, don't make it mean the end of the world, my friend. We're just finding the right fit for you.
So when I look at pants, I look for straight leg pants, okay, not curvy, because I was told the straight leg kind of doesn't make the hips look so huge. So is there straight curvy?
There is straight curvy, but also notice more BS fashion rules, right? What's the problem with your hips looking curvy or people noticing your curves?
Yeah. I don't know.
Right. It's
just always been trying to hide those curves, right?
Yeah. The job of your clothes is not to make you look skinny.
Oh, no?
No. Oh, wait. I'm going to just drop some knowledge on you. Hear me out, all you people. I love you. That is not the job of your clothes. The job of your clothes is to clothe you, not to make you look skinny or appear flatter or smoother. That's not its job. And when we give
that's an aha moment for me.
Right? Like, you can be so set free if you're not always trying to use your clothes to hide you.
Right.
Like, here's the beautiful thing is I think a lot of us are like, oh my God, they can see my belly. No, we'll see the imprint of your belly against fabric. We're actually seeing your belly. You can see my booty. Actually, no, we're seeing the imprint of your booty against fabric. Okay. I know the chat box is going off crazy, so it's a little distracting. Stick with me.
Like, watch the stripes. They must go up to down, right? You don't want the lines to go across that, you know, stomach of yours. You know, my mom's style advice I've been living by my whole life, you know?
But like, what if you could have a hot girl summer and you're going to be rocking some stripes and some curvy jeans that are skinny and showing off your fabulousness? I mean, I'm just opening up to the possibility that that might be what is out there for you.
All right.
Yeah. Well, we got to start sniffing out those BS fashion rules. I want you to like almost be like, does that smell? Is that stinky? Yeah, that's a little stinky. Time to rewrite.
Smells like bullshit.
Smells like bullshit. Yes. Yes, Linda, I love it. Smell the bullshit. Yes, exactly. All right. So that's going to be your mission. And for all of you who struggle, just like your friend Linda here, that's going to be your mission too. Rewrite it all out. Every BS fashion rule you were ever handed, time to write those, rewrite those, rewrite those. And then you can go out shopping from a new frame of mind, a new feeling place. Okay.
Great.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well,
all right. I'm going to remove you. I think there's a way to do this. It's not letting me right now, but it will show me how I can remove you as a panelist. There we go. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Let's take someone else. Anne Revere. I'm going to promote you to panelist. Someone's like, I don't even like my mom's style. Why in the hell am I still listening to her? I mean, right? Like, why are we taking advice from people whose style we don't even want to emulate? That's such a great question. Love it, love it, love it. Hi, Anne. Welcome. I'm going to unmute you, if that's okay, because I can't hear you quite yet. There you are.
Okay. You may have just touched on something that I was going to ask about. The belly roll.
Okay. Tell me.
Belly roll. I've lost 100 pounds, but that is still like the bane of my existence, is seeing the belly roll in my clothes. No matter what I wear, I will tell my husband, does the roll show? And he's like, only when you point it out like that. But in my mind, that's all I see is my belly roll.
Yeah. So here's the thing, and I want you to start differentiating it, is are you seeing your actual belly? And why would that be a problem? Or are we seeing the imprint of your belly against fabric? And why would that be a problem? Because our brains love to get dramatic and tell us, you can see my belly. But unless you're wearing a crop top, chances are we can't.
I know. I guess you wanted to look hidden. So I always wore clothes that were too big on me to, you know, the mask it. But I mean, I want to wear clothes that are more fitted to me now. But if I see a slight line there where the belly is, I tend to want to not wear the clothes.
Okay. Tell me the last time this happened. Let's walk through it.
Oh, daily. I mean, like right now, I'm sitting with my arms crossed because I know my belly is like right there, you know? It's there.
Okay, so notice it was not there until you pulled your shirt taut and you started jiggling your belly.
But for some reason, that's all I focus on. Yeah. No matter what I wear, I have that. I live down south. I don't want to have to wear extra layers of shapewear.
Yeah, and you don't. Okay, so this is a mindset thing. Because notice, the fact is you have a yellow and white tie-dye tank top on. You stood up. I saw no belly. None. But you had a thought. You can see my belly. How do you feel when you think that? You can see my belly.
It makes me feel like I haven't worked as hard as what I have worked to lose weight. I don't feel as small as what I truly am. It bothers me. I got used to the wiggly arms, but I have a hard time getting used to seeing a bit, because I guess when I was at my heaviest, it always seemed like I always focus on the belly.
Yeah.
So I thought when I lost the weight, the belly would be gone, but it's still, it still feels as big,
right,
as 100 pounds ago.
Let's talk about what's happening in your brain. This is really good. This is, a lot of you probably have a similar issue. Your belly, I can bet you, if we measured now to then, you've lost inches. It's probably a lot smaller. You lost 100 pounds. A lot of inches were lost around you, the circumference of your stomach. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Yeah. I went from wearing a size 28 to wearing a size 10.
Okay. So we know you've definitely lost circumference, inches around your stomach, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. Okay, but here's what's happening and why you're like, am I crazy? What the hell? Your brain got really used to focusing in on the size of your belly. So you created a neural pathway where no matter what, your brain is like, it's big, it's bigger than it should be. I'm not losing the weight. Look, I still have a belly. You can see my belly. You can see my belly, right? Like, and neural pathway, what you think of as like a well-paved highway, and yours was so well created that it's like a highway with street lights and coffee stops, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So now you've lost the weight, and your mind remembers the size you used to be. It remembers you being a 28. And it has this neural pathway that reinforces it that says, you can see my belly.
Mm-hmm.
But your brain is taking in new information when it sees you. It can put on your pants, we can check them, and you're a size 10. That's also a fact. But because you created this neural pathway where, like, you can see my belly, you can see my belly, it's almost like your mind doesn't understand the brain input it's getting. Your mind still thinks we can see your belly.
Definitely.
Right. So what we have to start gently reminding your mind is that, one, you're no longer the size you were. That's a fact. That you've gone from a size 28 to a size 10, that's a fact. You've lost circumference around your stomach, that's a fact. That we can't actually see your belly. That's a fact. And you might, my friend, have to ladder your way there very slowly, because you're in the habit of thinking that something is wrong with your belly and that everyone can see it.
Yeah, I feel like it's out there on display.
Yeah. And I would love to get you to a place where, like, ain't nothing wrong with my belly. My belly's fabulous, but you're not there yet. So what I want you to start practicing is like, it's possible that my mind is wrong about this. It's possible that no one can actually see my belly. It's possible I'm just in the habit of thinking this.
My husband tells me all the time, it's only in your head, Anne.
And that's okay. Welcome, girl. Welcome to the club. We all have little well-paved highways with coffee stops and streetlights. Like, all of us. You're not alone in that. But the way through is we have to start reminding your brain of what's true versus what it's just used to telling itself. And there's a very big difference. So I want you to go rewatch this because this is a little mind bendy breaky. I want you to rewatch this call and the thought that I want you to practice, my friend, until you're ready to get to the next ladder, that next monkey bar. It's possible that my mind is wrong about this. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So much love for you. Thank you for coming on the call because I know I can see you are not alone in this based upon the chat box. Give her some love in the chat box. So I'm going to send you back down, Anne, and your fellow sisters are going to give you some love in the chat box.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Okay, I'm going to go to the questions really quick, see if I can answer something. Okay. Tiny shoulder advice for bras and can't do in-person fitting is honestly too ticklish and laughing. A nightmare of laughter. Oh my God, I love that you giggle during a fitting. Also, what's the problem with like laughing your way through it? I've laughed through gyno exams and I still go. So you can laugh through anything, my friend. Don't let that hold you back. Don't be embarrassed or ashamed because you might get the giggles. So it's not that you can't, it's you're choosing not to, but I have another resource for you. And it's something I gave to the ladies in the Facebook group was go to herroom.com. If you click on the left of the site, when you arrive there, there's a whole thing on bra fitting to help you DIY it. If you are really committed to not going in person to get a bra fitting, that's a really great resource that has all kinds of tutorials and walks you in depth on video, how to measure yourself for your own bra. So that's something I do recommend you play with if you really don't want to go in person. Hi, Judith. I have been fitted before. I had lost 120 pounds at this point. Oh my, congratulations. The fitter told me I had really small breasts and a really fat back. Oh, the humans, right? Humans love to give us quippy sounding things that are particularly not very nice. So I want to ask you, because you didn't really ask me a question here, what are you making it mean that she told you you had small breasts and a really fat back? These were just thoughts she offered you. They are not facts. They are not objective criteria. This was just another human grunting noises in your direction. And you get to decide what you think about that. And you get to decide what you want to feel about it. Also, I may suggest do not return to that fitter. Find someone else who would be kinder and more lovely to you in that scenario. Thank you for sharing, Katie, because I'm sure you're not the only one who may have been shamed by a fitting room attendant, but always, always you get to like decide what you want to think about the words that they uttered in your direction. Okay. Miss J, up love a lipstick. I love chapstick. I'm currently using tinted Burt's Bees. What is a lipstick brand that stays on and is also hydrating like chapstick? Okay. So there's a few brands. My brain's like, blah, blah, blah. The brand I'm wearing actually is super hydrating, and this is burrito proof in their words, called Besame. And their lipsticks stay on all day, but they are really creamy. There's also Pacifica. There's Milk, which is an organic brand and it's cruelty free. And they have some great tinted balms that have a little bit more hyperpigment than the Burt's Bees and does also stay in place and stay on all day. So that's something else you could play with. But I would go in, well, since the world is reopening in some places, I would go and if they're letting you play with makeup again, ask for samples. Ask if you can take some different brands home, looking for something that's moisturizing that stays put. But my personal favorite is Besame. Okay. All right, I'm going to go back to, let's see who has their hands raised. Krista Dutt, you are on, mama, so get ready.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. How can I help you?
Ever since you did a call with us all before, I've been really trying to live into a different kind of style. And I found a dress that I absolutely loved. And so I bought three of them, even though no one was seeing them. And I got to go back out in the world last week, and I packed for 4 days. I packed three of those days. I packed where the dresses that I had purchased because I felt awesome in them. Still do. During one of those days, someone asked when I was due, and And in the moment, I felt okay about it, but the rest of the day, I sort of felt like, oh, that person ruined this dress for me, and I have to wear this dress in a different color the next 2 days. So I'm wondering about if you could help me think about thinking about the latter thoughts, like how to get back to like loving the dress and my body in it.
Okay. So let's sort of disentangle those two things. Okay. Because you didn't love your body because you happened to like the dress. You loved your body and then you found a dress that matched how you were feeling. Okay. So to do the latter again, let me show what thought you're thinking about your body and where you want to be with your body. And then once you've cleaned that part up, then you can decide whether you want to wear the dress or not. Okay. So what thought are you currently thinking about your body?
I'm feeling pretty amazing about my body.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like even later on that day, I saw my reflection in a window and I thought, wow, I look good.
Okay. Okay. So we had a human who uttered noise in your direction and you had the thought, what about what they said? Uh-huh. What was your thought about what they said?
I was thinking, oh, dang. Like, I was not feeling good in the moment.
Yeah.
And I let the human off the hook, right? Like, I was like, oh, that's just fat, not a baby.
Yeah. That was your response. So, like, oh, dang. What followed the oh, dang? What other thoughts were there?
I'm not hiding my belly as much as I thought I was.
I'm not hiding my belly as much as I thought I was. How do you feel when you think that?
Not good. On several levels, like here I thought I was trying to hide and I didn't do a good job of that. And also not feeling like people. Yeah, I guess that's the main one.
Yeah. So like we had a negative emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give that a name? Do you know what the name of that negative emotion was?
Maybe shame.
Okay. Shame is a motherfucker too, because it's like a wet blanket. So it's hard to get to the bottom of things when you're covered in the wet blanket of shame. So we're feeling shame. And then we second guess our choice for the dress. What else did you do when you were feeling the shame?
Probably second guessing a lot of other things that I was feeling good about. That I was giving 3 presentations that day and felt really prepared and felt, but I was starting thinking, well, if I don't look good as I think I do in this dress, then maybe I don't really know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Like, listen, set off like this cascade of second guessing, right?
Mm-hmm.
which makes sense if we have the thought, oh, I'm not hiding X, Y, or Z as much as I thought I was. And then we feel shame about it. Like, not only are they in on our secret shame about our belly or insert thing we think we're hiding cleverly, but like, then the obviously the next brain is like, then who else noticed, right? Like, right? But here's the thing I want you to like really wrap your arms around is there's a difference between listening to noises uttered in your direction and agreeing with them. So this human in your direction, right? And your brain was like, oh yeah, I agree. Oh no, I'm not doing such a good job hiding my belly, which we'll talk about in a second. But like, oh no, they're on to me. Wait, what? No, they just grunted some shit in your direction. We don't have to always agree with everything some other human tells us. Are you in the habit of that? Like if someone offers you an opinion, you're just like, oh man, it's all to hell in a handbasket.
Probably about my body, but not about a lot of other things.
Yeah. So the thoughts you have about the other things, that, like if someone offers you something and you're like, no, whatever you think in those moments can also transfer to your body.
That's a light bulb.
I saw your face. I'm like, ooh, what went on there? What were you thinking? Do share.
I think it's harder for me to believe that I know my body as similarly as I would say other things, right? Like, so to say, well, I know my shit about the thing that I have a master's degree in, like that feels good, right? But it's like, I feel like my body is, or how I present my body is more, I'm more apt to think through other people's eyes.
Yeah.
And that's what matters instead of how I view it.
Yeah.
Ooh. Wow. Ooh. Thank
wow,
you.
Wow. Right. But here's the beautiful thing is you don't even have a master's on your own body. You got a motherfucking PhD. Like right. You created the book, like you wrote the thesis and like the manual on your own body. Mm-hmm. No one knows better than you. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. My friend, people are going to offer you some thoughts and grunt noises in your direction. And that's going to be the little like boop to you. They're like, oh, I don't have to agree with them. I can politely listen, but I don't have to agree with them. Mm-hmm. Or even as they're saying here, like, I have a PhD on my own body. I know better than anybody else. I know better than anybody else what looks good on me.
Yeah, and I think it was surprising because I don't think that dress hides that I have a belly. I just think it looks good, right?
Okay.
So I think the shock of feeling shame after I was like, you can tell that I have a round belly in this dress and I still look good. So it felt foundational, but you clearly got to the foundation of like, I still am looking for outside people to say whether I look good instead of just saying I look good and that's all that matters.
Yeah. You got the PhD on you. You know best. So good. And I think you're not alone in that. If you go to the chat box, it's blowing up, y'all. I will de-promote you, but thank you. Thank you for coming on and letting me coach you. I appreciate that. All right. We are time's up, my friends. So I couldn't get to everyone's questions, but I will see you all in the Facebook group. Remember your glam gal mission. We're going to use breadcrumb thoughts, the ladder tool, however you want to couch it, to up-level your thoughts about your body, your thoughts about yourself, your thoughts about beauty. Remember, I am full of beauty. I am beautiful. I am beautiful. And then use that same technique to up-level your beauty routine. And we want to hear what you're up to. We want to see what you're up to. So much love for you all for now. As I always say, Miss J out.